Well, g'day there. Welcome along to the Short Baller Rugby Pass podcast. Scotty and Mills with you as we look ahead to what should be a fairly intense week of Super Rugby. Millsy, sorry I was away last week, mate. Had a flat tyre. Turkey was burning in the oven. It was all happening. Turkey needed basting. How are you?
I'm good. I'm very well, actually. It's a beautiful day here in sunny Auckland. Tamaki Makaurau.
Certainly is. Sunny day too, I guess, last Saturday for the Blues. Millsy, who finally had that win, got it done for Jerome Kainall in his final appearance at Eden Park in front of all of the 60 people who turned up for that one. Shite crowd, but a good result and a fitting result for a good old mate of yours as well.
Oh, yeah, it was fantastic, wasn't it? It was great, and I guess in some ways it was just great that they could finish, you know, Jerome's, tenure at the Blues at home like they did. Wasn't the best of games.
No.
But he got a shot at goal as well, which was awesome. Ugly shot, though, wasn't it?
He totally rushed that.
Yeah, he did.
He totally rushed that shot, and that's disappointing. He should have just taken his time. Full-time whistle had gone. Glenn Jackson actually put the flag up for that.
Yeah, I seen you.
Where was old mate next to him? He should have put the flag up too. Once the flags are up, that's official. It's over.
It's done.
Right?
So what, they're going to add half, so only 1 point.
It's a half point, yeah.
Good
it's
on
a
you,
one-point conversion from Jerome Kainall. Well, the Blues season continues, of course, this week. Our local derby, Hurricanes taking on the Blues in Wellington on Saturday night. That's after the Chiefs take on the Brumbies. But let's start on Friday, Millsy, as we look ahead to this weekend's round of Super Rugby. Crusaders are the one team that can't change their position this week. For the rest of the top eight, it is a shambles. I sent you homework. Did you read that?
Didn't send
you. I sent you the homework.
You did not send me homework, mate. If you did, the dog ate it.
The dog did not eat your homework. You
ate
don't even
phone.
Have a dog.
Ate my phone.
You don't even have a dog.
Not my textbook. Ate my phone.
Let's get to the nub of the matter first. Producer Alice is in the booth today. Hi, Producer Alice.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Not too bad. You sound so far away, but I can see you through the glass. That's the main thing.
I am quite far away. Compared to normal.
You're distant.
I'm distant.
She would be after the result from Fiji.
Look, let's not talk about it.
We should talk about it. Well, let's talk about that before we get to the Crusaders this week. What happened to the Highlanders last week in the first 40 minutes? And Super? And here's the thing about that, right? I watched that first half. The Chiefs weren't that good. They were not 42 points better good. Were they?
No. I mean, they scored some magnificent tries.
Yes.
But the Highlanders just took their time. They just took their time. And sometimes, you know, when I think with the Chiefs' experience over there, they played their last year against the Crusaders, and that was...
And the year before.
And the year before, it was a great game. And you know, obviously the first time the Highlanders were over there, sometimes I just think, you know, perhaps, you know, they got caught up in the occasion, you know, the whole week. It sort of almost feels like a festive week, you know, like a pre-season game, you know, all the Fijian people and how they get behind it. And sometimes, you know, you have that mentality of going into a game like that feeling a little bit lethargic after such a big week off the park. And perhaps that sort of caught up with them in the end.
I don't think they'd thought out.
Oh, they're freezing in Invers.
They'd gone from Invercargill to Suva, and you need to take some time just to thaw slowly. It's like taking a steak out of the fridge or out of the freezer. You don't want to rush that. You don't want to microwave that. You want it
to sit
in room temperature, come to temperature of its own accord. You don't want to rush the defrosting of the steak.
Nope.
And they looked like 15 defrosting steaks getting torn apart.
Because sometimes you can defrost steak, but it's still frozen on the inside.
That's
when you touch it. And perhaps it took them, I mean, going through Auckland from Invercargill to Auckland, that was then halfway through Fiji, still hadn't thought out.
Bull of a knucker. Well, it's a good win for the Chiefs. Although, I mean, still problematically for me, though, and we'll get to the Chiefs in a moment. The fact is the Highlanders then scored 22 points to three in the second half. I know maybe you go to sleep a little bit when you're that far up, but still, I don't think they'd be happy about that. Let's get to looking ahead, though. The Croczilla, friend of the show.
Oh, mate.
Brings up 200 Super Rugby caps this week at Wyatt Crockett Stadium. Wyatt Crockett Stadium. How good is that?
That is awesome. So what is that going to... are they only just naming it Wyatt Crockett Stadium for 1 week?
Just one night only. Someone came up with a great great line, though, on Twitter. Sumo Stevenson on Twitter. They came...
Who's that guy?
Just throw that out there. Anyone still using that? came up with a great line. They should have called it the Crockett Pocket.
Oh, nice.
I like that, the Crockett Pocket.
Oh, yeah. It's got a little bit of a ring to it, doesn't it?
Well, let's have a think about what he's achieved, though. Jace Ryan, Crusader scrum coach, saying, you know, let's put that 200 games in perspective. That's over 3,500 scrums. Oh. 3,500 scrums. No wonder the guy can't turn his neck. But what a champion, though, right? I mean, here's a bloke who's had so many ups and downs, so many setbacks, knockbacks. He's been criticised throughout his career, really, especially since that debut for the All Blacks at the San Siro. And he has just water on a duck's back, come back time and time again, and here he is. And this is the thing about guys like Crocky for me. They're the real heroes in our game. Oh, yeah. I know that we have fantastic players, and you among them, Millsy, you know, guys who have this natural ability to play the game, and they're wonderful to watch. But I think that if you're a kid and you're looking for heroes in any sport or any endeavour in life, it's the guys who perhaps weren't blessed with the fast twitch fibres and the natural ability. It's the guys who have just gone to work season after season and made the most of what they have. And Wyatt Crockett's one for me. Our good friend Steve Donald's another one for me. Yes, 105% of what he had, he used. Those are the guys that I look up to, especially in the game. And I say I look up to them because I genuinely do. I know that I get exposed to a lot of footy players. I've caught a lot of games of rugby. But I do have the utmost admiration for people who, through it all, have just gone back to work on Monday and tried to improve. Those are the true champions of sport.
Yeah. I mean, gee, I can't believe you put Stephen Donald in that category.
You know, well, he wasn't given much he wasn't given much natural talent, let's be honest, his own admission.
No, and you're right, Sumo. And you think of, you know, obviously Beaver, but Crocky and the situation he's been in. I mean, over a million scrums, but in 2009, what he went through and coming out of that, you know, he was penalised 1,000 times, and perhaps a lot of people would have said, you know, that's the end of your All Black career. But he sort of just chipped away, came back in. Adversity. Those are the tough guys that just go, well, you know what, stuff it. I'm just going to keep going in and give 105% every sort of day, every single day until I get better. And he's done that. And you talk about great players. Well, he's a god. He's an absolute god in terms of rugby here in New Zealand and globally, because he could have easily left. And to come back and be a very important part in the All Blacks over the last few years, and particularly down in Crusaders and in Christchurch. And the game that probably sticks out to me would have to be, you know, this year when he went over when they went over to Canberra. And you've got a guy that's come off the bench and an impact.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, guys go down and he has to play 70-odd minutes. And, well, he's not 22 years old. Or, you know, he goes out there and just kills it. And when you're looking at guys to inspire people, that's the sort of guy you look to. Because you've got young guys now going, wow, look at Wyatt Crockett. You know, if he can do that at that age, wow, you know, what can I do? And, you know, there's hopefully no more of that, oh, you know, my back sore, my neck's this and that, or the hammies aren't going that great. Well, if you're seeing a guy who's almost a dinosaur, well, you know, doing it himself and doing it remarkably well, I mean, isn't that inspiration?
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. He was player of the day that day.
Oh.
Yeah, he's sitting on the bench thinking, all right, I'll get 25 minutes, happy days, you know, life's good. And he plays 72, I think, in the end, including 1,000 scrums.
Yeah, and he didn't play the week before, I think.
Mate, it was a huge shift from him. And I think that's right, and it's emblematic of what the Crusaders stand for. If you've got that jersey, respect it and make it more valuable. And that's what he has done throughout his career. I know the guy personally, and I know I'm singing his praises here, and I don't mind if it sounds sycophantic. I'm just a huge admirer, and not just of what he's achieved in rugby, but he's just a champion, man.
Yeah.
He's got a great family, and his wife, Jenna, is just as amazing as he is, and his sons, Sonny and Emmett. You know, those family bonds, and all of his family, really, Peter and Joe's mum and dad, his in-laws, Murray and Linda, they have just backed him the whole way, and in return, he makes sure that he's the best he can be when he's around that family. And I know he's set them up well, and I know they just adore him. And look, I can't wait to get there on Friday and know that they're all going to be there.
Yeah, you're one of the lucky ones they get to watch live, watch him play that game, because it's going to be magical. And for those of you that don't know Crocky, he is exactly what you see on TV. Mm. He's such a down-to-earth sort of a guy. He doesn't need that superficial stuff to sort of... you know, stake a claim about who he is and stuff. He just goes about his business. He is exactly what he comes across on TV. Very down to earth, very humble, and a great family man. And he's got great support. But looking forward to watching this massive milestone.
Well, it's going to be a great game because the Southern Classic in recent years has been fantastic. Let's not forget, too, the Highlanders won the first one this year at Forsyth Bar Stadium, 25-17, I think the final score in that game. A couple of crazy tries involved there. The Crusaders got the opener when they went all Highlanders on the Highlanders with a set piece. But, look, you know, I was lucky to be there last year at AMI Stadium with Mitchy Hunt's heroics and calling that game. And, you know, what a finish that was, and a fitting finish too to such a great game. I think the Southern Classic, the Highlanders-Crusaders game, has become one of the most important Super Rugby games on the calendar, just because it just brings out the best in fans and players alike.
Oh, the rivalry. I mean, we had Corey Flynn on Team Talk last week, and they hate each other. and that's interesting, because you've got a lot of guys that play that are from the Canterbury region who have played for the Crusaders that are coaching there now too. And so they absolutely hate each other. So the rivalry's there, and it's going to be a huge game. The last few games I've played have been so close, it's not funny. So, no, it's going to be a huge one.
There's Crusaders coaches everywhere, though. Yeah. There's a generation of Crusaders now that are basically running the game in this country. Yeah, Aaron Major down at the Highlanders, Mark Hammett at the Highlanders. You've got Leon McDonald coming up to the Blues.
Did you not know that was the criteria of being a coach in New Zealand? Come on, mate.
You've got to
bleed red and black now.
Oh, it actually wouldn't surprise me, to be honest. Quite intriguing though, that they've all gone into that. I always look back at the Crusaders and think they all came up under Robbie Deans. And guys like Wayne Smith and obviously Steve Hansen before that, and then on through Todd Blackadder and his leadership, they've all got there's something about that generation of Canterbury men in particular, and Crusaders men in particular, that are just part of the fabric of the sport now, professionally speaking.
Yeah, but they're pretty dominant then too. I mean, they still are at the moment. But isn't it great that that they've sort of progressed that now, and all those coaches. I mean, there are. They're damn good coaches. Were absolutely great players. And so, gee, come on, Blues. Where's those Blues? Hey, where's the Chiefs mana? But guys,
you got Tump Boy at the
Chiefs. Oh, Tump Boy. Oh, he's here too. Oh my gosh.
What are you talking about? Chiefs mana from an Invercargill boy. Oh. That's great. That is rich from you. Let's talk about the Crusaders team. Not just Crocky, who's a point of interest in this team. Cody Taylor gets a rest on the bench. I guess that's just due to workload over June and knowing that he can make an impact. He's certainly an impact kind of guy. So Andrew Makaleo gets a start at hooker. It's number 8 where we're going to focus on the long-awaited return of Mr. Kieran Reid. Is this a brave move from the Crusaders, given the fact that they've got a number of guys who have done the job? Jordan Taufu is on the bench, not getting the start. Instead, they're throwing the skip straight in there. The All Blacks skipper, that is, of course, Sam Whitelock leading the Crusaders. Is this a risky move?
Oh, I don't think so. I think he's not going to play 80. He won't go 80. They'll just. And sometimes you need a, it's actually easier to prepare when you're starting than what it is when you're coming off the bench, especially after an injury, because you often go out there and you're not warmed up or anything like that, really. So, you know, he can prep himself through the week. He knows exactly what he needs to do, and they'll probably give him, 50 or 60 odd minutes. He's played a bit of club rugby. Taufua, he's under a little bit of injury cloud going into that big break. So I don't think it's risky at all. And all it really is will be just go out there and, feel your way through the game, prepare right throughout the whole week, and then, Jordan will come on and do his bit.
Crocky on the bench. As you can imagine, when you've got Joe Moody and Owen Franks, the All Blacks starting front rowers there at your disposal. Yep. And Crocky wouldn't have cared one way or another as long as he was playing 200 games. Imagine being Scott Robertson and going, man, we've got Tim Perry, we've got Joe Moody, we've got Owen Franks. There might not be any room for Crocky. Imagine stranding him on 199. You would never live that down.
Nah, but he's... Oh, no, you wouldn't be able to live that down, would you? Razor would never do that.
No, he wouldn't.
No. I think he even said at the beginning of the season he was always going to we're going to get there with Crocky 200, so he was never going to let that down.
100%. On the other side of this equation, the Highlanders too have an embarrassment of riches. Really, Liam Squire and Elliot Dixon bracketed in the number six jersey. The return of James Lentis in place of Dylan Hunt. Mm. I feel a little bit for Dylan Hunt. He's out, but you know, Lentis has proved himself over a couple of seasons, and he's a fairly handy number seven as well. The back line takes care of itself with Richard Buckman. The Barracuda getting the start on the left wing. No Tevita Lee. I think Tevita Lee's been a bit of an unsung hero for the Highlanders this year. I mean, we talk a lot about Wasucki. We talk a lot about Ben Smith. Tevita Lee, his metres per carry are exceptional. Yep. He's that kind of free radical for me that just does something in a game. So we know that Richard Buckman, however, has plenty of his own moments throughout his career. This is an exciting mix-up in the back line. I'm looking forward to Robbie Thompson taking on Jack Goodhue. The midfield battle, I think, is always crucial in these games.
Yeah.
But where do you see the difference when you look at a Highlanders pack with the likes of Aaron Smith and Lima Sopawanga up against Bryn Hall and Richie Mwanga? I think Damien McKenzie might have won the one-on-one last week in Fiji. A guy like Lima probably looks at it and says, right, I need to be better. I need to get back and use my instinct a bit more.
Yeah, well, you've taken the words out of my mouth, Sumo, because I think that's where it's key. Smith and Sopawanga on one end, and then, Bryn Hall and Maunga on the other. I think that combination, they're four packs. I mean, the Crusaders, you know, experience-wise, you know, they'll probably tip them. But we've seen a Highlanders pack that get very physical, and they don't mind getting amongst it. But it's how the nines and the tens are going to control the game, particularly given this is such a big occasion. And so, given the Highlanders didn't go so well last week, and coming back from All Black duty, Aaron Smith in particular, I think the 9-10 pairing is going to be massive. And whoever wins that battle will obviously dictate, how much of the game goes.
I wonder if when we look back to the Highlanders last week in Fiji, whether their pack just needs something and whether they've got enough left in the tank.
Yeah.
We've spoken about this a lot during the year about how adversarial their game plan is and how much that can drain from you.
Yep.
And you go through and look at the Highlanders. Their top guys, including all of their top tacklers, and there's four of them in the top 10, including the top three in the competition, Dylan Hunt, Luke Whitelock and Tom Franklin. You go through, and their crucial eight guys have all played 900-plus minutes, whereas in the Crusaders, their 900-plus minute guy is number four.
Yeah.
So that's a lot more minutes in a season, and especially when you're playing an attritional style of game. I wonder, and we've said it before, and I'm not counting the Highlanders out this weekend by any stretch, but how much is left in the tank in the style of game they play?
Yeah, I know, and that's what sort of concerns me a little bit as well, whether they've, yesterday they had that 3 weeks off, but to come back and sort of start the way they did in Fiji, the style of footy they play, it's so physical. You kick down the other end and we'll just tackle the crap out of you, and you're making a heck of a lot of tackles. And so when you talk about those guys in the top 10, the top three, and so whereas the Crusaders, they've shared the workload around, they always talk about it, all these guys here in this conference, how physical it is. Okay, they have to step up again. Is there enough left in the tank? Well, you'd hope so. But also, you'd have to look at your bench. Obviously, Liam Squire hasn't played a heck of a lot this year, so there's still plenty of physicality there. Your Frizzell and your Lomax, I think he's on the bench. And so you turn to them and say, well, are you going to give those guys more minutes? Because these guys are perhaps starting to run out of steam.
It's a big game. And it's a big game in the whole sense that so much on the line for the top eight this week. And I think when we say that the Crusaders are the only team that won't move, regardless of results, I mean, have a think about everything else, and every other game has something riding on it. And I know people complain about Super Rugby, and I know it's not a perfect system, and I would certainly like to see some changes, but we're in the penultimate round, and you've got 10 teams who can still make the playoffs out of 15.
Yeah.
I think that's a good result for any competition. But I'm going to go through this. Okay. All right, are you ready to strap yourself in?
Okay.
Just clear my throat. So, regardless of results this weekend, the Crusaders will remain in the top spot on the table, which is a luxury, But they won't be thinking about that when it comes to the Southern Classic this weekend. As for the Lions and the Waratahs, it could be a massive swing because the Waratahs will be favourite to beat the Moondogs in Sydney. And if they do that, they could go to second on the table, which means the Lions would drop down to third. But then again, they're on the bye, and the Jaguares are now seven straight wins, and they're playing the Stormers? No, the Sharks. And that is a game they should be looking to win as well, even though that's away. And it gets more convoluted for the Lions there, because if the Jaguares do win that game, they then become the top team in South Africa, and the Lions would go from second to seventh on the table based on points and wins. But that's not all, Millsy, because then you've got the Highlanders and Rebels in seventh and eighth respectively. But if the Highlanders win, then without a bonus point, and the Hurricanes somehow lose to the Blues, and the Chiefs also win, that means all three of those teams would be on the same number of points with one round to go. And then you've also got to factor in the Rebels, the Brumbies and the Sharks, and the Smoky. The Brumbies and the Sharks are still in the hunt for a wildcard spot if the Rebels can't find another win this season, and they've got the Reds this week. Did you get all that?
Oh, mate. You know what? Can you start again?
No. That's basically it in a nutshell.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, what a luxury being in the Crusaders' position.
That is dead right. And then from a New Zealand point of view, you want your teams finishing 1, 4, 6 and 7 anyway, because then a Kiwi team in every quarterfinal, and that's the only way you're going to get an all-New-Zealand semifinal. I'm not saying that's what I want. I'm just saying from a New Zealand perspective, that would be the ideal result.
Is the Rebels still there?
Rebels are still there. The Rebels are 100% still on the hunt, which is remarkable. They're in the hunt for the 8 now. I think top spot's beyond them now. I think the Waratahs... at home against the Sunwolves. As much as I love the Sunwolves, speaking of the Sunwolves, Hayden Parker has not missed a shot at goal.
Hasn't he?
Kwasi Parker. Best goal kicker in the world.
Shit. That's gone unnoticed.
Hasn't it just?
Oh, man.
Exactly right. No, so the Rebels are still on the hunt. The Sharks are still on the hunt. The Brums are still on the hunt. And, yeah, it all comes down to the last two rounds of Super Rugby. I think that's a result for the comp. That's all I've got to say.
Well, that's what you want, isn't it?
100%.
I mean, you don't want four teams just dominating, you know, but you want to go and this is what everyone's talked about, you know, get into the last few rounds and, you know, there's still plenty of positions to play for. You don't want to be sitting there and, you know, the top four is already sorted and you're playing for an away quarterfinal, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's fantastic. It does need a little bit of a change, but this is a fantastic, it's a great result. It's an absolutely great result for the competition itself because you don't know what's going to happen. Oh,
hell. You're excited. Oh, I can see you sitting there. You're excited.
I am.
It's always good to see you when you get excited. Let's talk about a couple of the other games then. The Hurricanes take on the Blues. Take a pause and let us consider the Hurricanes here, because everything was going swimmingly for the Canes. And then they got a couple of reversals. Then they had the June break. Then they come back without Beauden Barrett. With Geordie Barrett playing centre again, and then they have another reverse against the Brumbies. And for the third straight game in Super Rugby, I think it is fair to say, and with no disrespect intended, Ford's got beaten up.
Mm.
We started this year talking about the Hurricanes and the fact that they are earning the right to go wide, that their heart defence had been amazing, that their repeat efforts had been amazing, but for the third straight week, their defence around the breakdown was passive.
Yeah.
Brumbies got on a front foot, and this is a Brumbies team that is limited in terms of what they do. But
Canberra does strange things there.
Well, it does. And they crushed them on discipline and took them to line out and drove them and pick and went and got the victory. Now, what is going on with the Hurricanes the way you see them at the moment, and what needs to change? Because I still don't count them out as being the overall winner of the comp.
No, I don't count them out either. I think, but it is that. We go right back to when they, I think it was the Reds, either the Reds or the Sunwolves sort of showed the way around the fringes, and we started talking about how passive they were. And it sort of continued on week after week, and then teams are sort of analysed. And you were talking, they went 10 straight wins in a row, okay, and they were looking like the team, unbeatable. Everything they were doing was absolutely fantastic. The way they were defending and forcing guys to come back in. Now, all of a sudden, there's all these holes around the fringes, and that's where they've been targeted. it's very difficult to get things going if you're not winning that physical battle, and particularly around the ruck area, because, you know, if teams break there, then everyone else has to come in. If they break a little bit out wide, you can slow the pull down a little bit longer to get an aggressive line later, but they just seem to have lost their way. But now, yes, they're playing the Blues. I think this could be a good chance for them to get a little bit physical. The Blues, they'll bring it in that area, but it's a great chance for the Lucies in particular, who were dominant, you know, in the early stages, to actually get back to winning ways, but also to be physically dominant.
I know they were down on manpower in that Brumbies game, but you should have a squad that's deep enough to cover in those positions. I know you got no Artie Savia, you had no Bowden Barrett, you've got Geordie out of position. I want to touch on the Barretts here. There's no doubt for me that when Bowden Barrett's at 10,
yeah,
and Geordie Barrett's at fullback, that team is very different.
Mm.
And I don't know if you can put it all down to two guys, but that intuition and understanding that those two players have, and we talked about that through the All Blacks series as well, especially after that first test, it is unbelievable the understanding those two have together, and it drives so much of that game plan in terms of kick receipt, counter-attack, click play, all of those things. I'm not saying Geordie Barrett can't play centre. He's obviously played there a lot in his life. And Nehi Milner-Scudder's a great fullback.
Yeah.
But it's the combination that is so important to the Hurricanes, should I say. The Bowden Barrett at 10, Geordie Barrett at fullback relationship tends to glue a lot together for that team.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Sumo. And they do glue. Well, I think since you've, spoken about that, the other sort of thing you've kind of probably missed is the injuries in key positions. I think Proctor, losing him, Proctor and Ussel, because they brought something different. Bringing, you know, Barrett forward now, that's Geordie. I don't think centre's his best position. He likes to be at the back, and particularly with the Bowden around there, because their combination is, you know, so good. But with, you know, with Proctor and Lomape, they both bring a little bit of X factor. So you've got to watch both of them. At the moment, you know, teams are obviously factoring on it. Well, we go hard physically around the edges, take care of Lomape. They won't get the ball out wide. You know, with Proctor there, he brings a little bit. He distributes really well. Ussel comes along. You know, he's blockbusting out a little bit wider. And so they lost that a little bit. The added sort of pressure now with Bowden being out last week, you know, it just puts a lot of pressure on Geordie. And how does he come back to, I suppose, get into the swing of things, in particular at centre, which is, you know, quite a difficult position for someone that's played fullback for a very long time.
You've been there, done that, Millsy.
Yeah, that sucks.
I just coughed up a lung. I want to touch too on Ngani Laumape, because the guy is 20 metres a carry at his best. And our mate Steve Bates brought up a couple of clips for us this week, just saying he took two carries in the game, both on exits, destroyed them, and that was pretty much his workload, carrying workload for the game. Ngani Laumape is murdering people out there.
No.
Give him the weapon and let him go.
And not just on exits. You can't. Man. I don't care what's going on. Just give him the ball every single time.
100.
Oh.
Let him mow people down. I mean, he melts people.
Yeah.
We see that every time he's got his pluck up, he is melting people out there. And it's a joy to watch.
Yeah.
And it was fundamental to their early season success.
Yeah.
Ngani Laumape eyeing up any 10 in front of him and basically trying to kill him.
Yeah. Standing start.
It's a fairly simple game plan, but hey, you know, it works. And the other thing is, you've got to get Ben Lamb. Here he is.
Oh.
You know, 5 weeks ago, he's on the cusp of all-time Super Rugby try scoring season record. He hasn't got a try since.
Mm.
You've got to start to be worried when a guy like that, a finisher, is not getting chances to finish. So, I don't know. Look, in saying all of that, Millsy, and as much as I was happy for the Blues to get a win for their boy Jerome last week, nah, surely not. Surely not. Really?
Really?
Is this a chance? Are they a chance?
Well, the chance that they've got is to be spoilers, okay? This is the chance that the Blues have got to finish the season off well for themselves. And, you know, a lot's come out throughout the whole year about how hard they work for each other. They've got an opportunity to go down to Westpac Stadium and do that. I can't see it personally. I think, you know, this is a great game for the Hurricanes to get themselves back into the winning circle.
All right. And then we finish today's short ball on the Chiefs.
The Chiefs. Ooh.
Taking on the Brumbies in Hamilton, which has not been a happy hunting ground for the Brumbies, or for many people for that matter. Chiefs coming home, they'll be pretty happy about that. We're not sure yet whether Brodie Retallack returns, yep. but certainly the return of Sam Kane gave them some starch around the edge. And they've got a couple of other guys there. Luke Jacobson, I think, is going to be a champion footy player. Like, yep. And Boshier is still to come back as well. Liam Messam is the man I want to talk to. What a shift from the Koro in that first half. Holy moly, did you see him go?
I know you don't want to blow smoke up his ass. I want to know what sort of carver he was on over there, bro.
He was on something else.
Holy smoke. He ripped it up.
Yeah.
Wow.
He turned back the clock about 5-6 years, I reckon.
Oh, easily. Easily. He was just... I had to look twice because I was like, I had a couple of beers, but I was like, whoa, is that hunger? Are you... what?
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, I mean, this is a guy who's been player of two finals, right? 12 and 13, consecutive finals, consecutive MVPs in the final, and he's always given his all for the Chiefs' money. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
But there have been times this year where Liam Messam has looked like Liam Messam has played 180 games of Super Rugby, right? Yeah. And that's natural, especially in a position like that. I don't know what he was on. He was on Waisaki Naholo's Magic Leafs or something, because he or in that pod from Cocoon where they're all in the swimming pool and they never age. Seriously, that was it was so good to see him do that.
Awesome.
And your love child, Solomonalo Malo, carving it up.
Oh.
How long before he's in the All Blacks, this kid? He's got to be, doesn't he?
Oh, look, he'll play for the All Blacks one day. Not quite yet. He's not quite ready, but I'm loving the things that he's doing. I mean, I'm loving, his continuation of what he's doing. It's at the back and at fullback. So he's getting appreciation of how that back three actually works. So another year or so, but he's got a lot of competition. So, but I'm enjoying watching Elite Marlow play.
All right, Melzy, let's finish with a little something from you for the weekend. A little something. Who is your absolute smoky for the playoffs out of the Brumbies and the Sharks? Which of those teams more likely, given what's ahead of them, to come through and maybe sneak a spot in the eight?
Well, I think it's the Sharks because they've got the Jaguares at home. They beat the Lions. And I don't think the Brumbies, they won't win this weekend. Will they?
I don't think
so. No, I think the Sharks.
Sharks could jump up. Well, we're going to find out. Right, leave it with us, and we'll leave it with you. That's been the short ball for another week. Thanks, producer Alice.
Thanks, guys.
Great stuff from you. I know you're upset about that Highlanders.
Yes,
result,
she is, isn't she?
I'm real upset.
All right, well, we'll talk about that later. We'll go over to beer. Thanks, Millsy.
Cheers, mate.
Make sure you catch all the action on rugbypass.com.